is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a glorious day it is today. But you know, whether it's raining or sunshine, I know that God is on the other side. And he sends whatever weather it is for our good. I do believe that. I really do. I've lived in many different places in the United States and around the world, especially when I was in the Air Force, and I always found God's beauty everywhere being revealed. Now, of course, the earth is not God, but it certainly reveals his majesty, does it not? I remember being in the state of Arizona, stayed there for a while in the Air Force. I was shocked by the beautiful cactuses and just gorgeous landscape. Wasn't quite as pretty, I guess, as, well, Texas, where I come from. But, now, don't get mad, you Arizonans, but, you know, you're always a little prejudiced to your home state. But it was a beautiful sight. And I can understand why many people in Arizona, remember there was a magazine there at newsstands called Arizona Highways. Some of the most beautiful pictures. You know what it was? It was not until I stayed in Arizona a while that I found out that every year at a certain time, those cactuses, there were different varieties of cacti. I thought there were just like two. You know, the big pipe cactus they used to have in the old cowboy movies, and then the little bitty, you know, little round-shaped cactuses. But I found out there were hundreds of varieties of cactuses. Actually, I guess they call it cacti, to be correct, dictionary-wise. Hundreds that God had made. And you know, at a particular period of time, most of those cacti, according to their own species and schedule, as God would prescribe it, they suddenly burst out in flowers. And you could see the most beautiful red or yellow flowers on cacti. Very impressive. Very impressive. You say cacti? Yes. Oh, the beautiful flowers. And then, of course, I found out that a lot of the animals eat those cacti, and they actually contain water in them and can store up water for a long period of time. Great during the use in droughts and when it's dry periods. But in any case, God has designed the world with such precision. It's just unbelievable, is it not? And, of course, here in central Texas, we have the hill country. And, boy, is it pretty. We have these big, majestic oaks and those mean old cedars that spray some kind of pollen during a particular season. And, boy, I just come down with allergies and, you know, I'm blowing my nose and going. And it's almost an embarrassment. Every year, people around here get cedar fever. And all I can say is God must have some reason for that, but I hadn't figured it out yet. I'm not as smart as God, but I just don't see any reason for these cedars. There are a few things that I just don't see any reason for. You know, rattlesnakes and cedars are two of them. But maybe God wanted us to have a little bit of the bad so we could appreciate the good. I don't know. But isn't God wonderful? And you know, he's given us some wonderful music over the years. He's inspired a lot of people. One of my favorite groups is the Cathedrals. They disbanded a couple years ago, and one of the leaders went on to be with the Lord, and he's singing in heaven right now. I wish I could find out what his newest composition was. I'd play it on the air, but I guess there's a gap between us, a little gulf there, and we can't find out. So we're just going to have to stay with this music that was inspired while he was back on earth. And there's a song that's sort of nice. You know, there's no really instrumental part to it. And I have to admit, I do like instruments. I really do. I would never make it in those Church of Christ churches. They don't believe in musical instruments in churches. Boy, they are losing a lot. Now, I'm not into drums and all that rock and roll malarkey. But I do like, you know, beautiful instruments. You know, we love beautiful music here at Bible Home Church. That's the only kind we have. And there's a lot of varieties of beautiful music. There is. There really is. A lot of varieties. This is called Southern Gospel. I don't know why they call it Southern. I think the cathedrals actually came out of Ohio. I guess, what is that? Southern Canada? Just teasing. Oh, Buckeyes, just teasing. But it's a beautiful song that they sang here, and it's all about traveling on that, well, that railway. Yeah, the railway to God. I sort of like it. And I think you will too. Now, before I play this song, I want to mention to you, we're continuing our series today on the prophetic letters of Paul. You say, I didn't know there were any prophetic letters. I know about the letter to the Corinthians and the letters, the letter to Timothy and the letters to, you know, on and on, and Ephesians and such, but I've never heard about any prophetic letters. Well, I'm talking about the prophecy that's contained in so much of Paul's writings. That's right. In Thessalonians. And even in the book of Romans, you'll find prophecy. Paul was quite a prophet, and we're talking about that in this series on the prophecy in the letters of Paul. So immediately after the song today, we're going to have that. Now, before we do, I want to tell you how much I appreciate the letters and the love gifts and the support that you've been giving this ministry. We couldn't do it without you, and I really do appreciate it so very much. Of course, we need your help here at Bible Home Church. You know, we don't beg. We don't plead. We don't send out letters telling you we're going to go off the air if you don't give. We just depend on the Holy Ghost to lead you. But my, my, how some of you have come through when we needed your help. And I thank you so very, very much. And now we're going to have the cathedrals and some beautiful music here. Oh, you're going to like this. And then right after, we'll have our message. And then, of course, at the end of the message, we'll close off for today. You're listening to Pastor Tex Mars at Bible Home Church.
Life is like a mountain railroad.
Oh, yeah.
With an engineer that's brave, we must make the run successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the curves, the hills, the tunnels, never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail.
Yeah.
Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. As you roll across the trestle, spanning Jordan's swelling tide, you'll behold the Union Depot into which your train will glide. There you'll meet the superintendent, God the Father, God the Son. With extended hands he'll greet you, weary pilgrim, welcome home. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us,
grant it, Lord,
till we reach that blissful shore, where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forever.
coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's going. This is the subject of this. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a topic. And by our gathering together unto him. What is he going to talk about? He tells you right away. He says, please listen to me, people. Listen to me. I want to talk to you about the coming of our Lord Jesus and about how we're going to be gathered together unto him. Now, here's another one of those big words. Well, that doesn't appear to be too big to me, but people sure get mixed up about it. What does that mean? Our gathering together unto him. Friends, that's talking about being caught up. How is it going to happen, he says? The Lord Jesus will come and gather us up. Remember, it talks about in the Bible, in various passages, we don't have time for that, how he's going to gather up the elect from the four corners of the earth in the last days. Here we're seeing this, the gathering. Man, I tell you, that's going to be a great gathering in the air, and I want to be there, don't you? Oh, you say you don't? Well, you can just stay here, and then all of the plagues and the horrors of the book of Revelation will be your lot. But if you want to be up there with Jesus Christ when he comes again, well, you're invited. Everyone who loves his appearing will be with him. But there's just a lot of people who just don't love it. You know, it'd be a great inconvenience. They got things on their schedule. There's a lot of mothers today. They got their kids doing so many things they can't keep track of it. Got to have a little book to do this and do that, these soccer moms. And I think if Jesus comes and says, I'm sorry, Lord, but I just don't have time. My daughter's got to go to this recital, and my son's got to go to karate class, me and my husband, we've got an appointment here, and then we got a date to that to take somebody out to dinner, and I still need to clean my house, and I just don't have time for you, Lord. I think there are a lot of people like that. Other people say, well, Lord, I'm fixing to get a promotion. I can buy a better house, and please don't come right now. Interesting how some people are. God's coming would be a great, great inconvenience to them. Verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He says, don't get shook up. That's in the vernacular. Don't get troubled, okay? Neither by spirit, don't let your spirits be all messed up and troubled and disturbed. And don't listen to a spirit. It has a double meaning there. A lying spirit. Nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. See, lying spirits can come and say, Paul says this. Somebody could say, by word, here's what Paul said, but it not be true. Somebody could say, well, Paul wrote a letter to this other church, and he said this. So this is what we're to believe. He said, don't believe anything if it tells you that Christ is at hand. Doesn't matter if it's a lying spirit. Doesn't matter if it's somebody says they got it in spirit, some message, some word of knowledge. Even if they say they got a letter from us that Christ is at hand, don't believe it. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. Don't let anybody deceive you, he says. You know, he's begging them. Please, he says in verse 1. He beseeches them. Here he's saying, don't let anybody deceive you. For that day shall not come except... Wow. He's telling them when it's going to come. Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't let anybody talk to you. Don't let anybody say they got a letter or a word of knowledge or anything else. Listen to me now, he says. Don't be deceived. That day will not come. What day is he talking about? The gathering to Jesus Christ. That meeting in the sky. Some call it the rapture. Jesus calls it being caught up. All right? Being caught up. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering of the saints, gathering of the elect. Don't be deceived. That day will not come except. That's going to tell you something here has got to happen first. Something is going to happen first before that day comes.
In fact, he's going to tell you, Paul's going to tell you, two things that have got to transpire. Now, I don't care what Jack Van Impe says. I don't care what Hal Lindsey says, or Dave Hunt, or Arno Froese, or Paul Crouch, or Billy Graham. I don't care what they say. I don't care what their interpretation is. I don't care if Robert Schuller said it, or Norman Vincent Peale. There are two things, and don't be deceived. There will be two things that are going to be happening before Jesus returns again. But the real question, there's so much controversy over when it will occur and what must transpire first. And most people, they call themselves dispensationalists. Some of them even call themselves Schofieldites. Schofieldites. They believe in the Bible given by Schofield back around the turn of the century, that is the 20th century. And they believe that Jesus could come at any time and nothing has to happen in advance. Well, of course, Jesus can come whenever he wants, and no man knows the day nor the hour except our Father in heaven. But in fact, God said there would be certain things that would occur before Jesus returns again. In fact, the scriptures tell us, and we want to know, do we not? We have an inquiring mind. I want to know what must transpire before Jesus returns again and gathers up the saints from the four corners of the earth. What has to happen first? Now, again, I want to tell you, there are people who believe in the imminent return, and by that they mean nothing has to occur. He could come 1 minute. He could come while I'm preaching this sermon to you. Oh, yes? Oh, no. Why? Because while he could do whatever he wants, he's God, he has chosen a certain scenario. He has a script now that he has himself given out. And listen to me very carefully, friends. God is true to his word. He will not violate his word. Don't tell me he changes his mind. He can change his mind if he wants to. But once he put it in the Bible, God made a commitment. Because the Bible, the word in it, is eternal. And as I said earlier, even Jesus told the devil, it is written. Once it's written, my friends, it's down. It's engraved. It's permanent. And God is not going to change it. Because he's not going to go on his word. Now, I suppose he could put us all in some kind of a parallel universe and rewrite the Bible and all those things. Of course, I know that. God can do anything. But as far as I'm concerned, right now, we've got this Bible in our hands. I believe in it 100%, and we're going to find out now what God said must happen before Jesus comes again to gather up the saints. Don't be deceived. That day shall not come, except, Paul says, this is verse 3 now of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. First thing that occurs then, my friends, that must happen is a great falling away. Falling away. And, there's a comma, and that man of sin be revealed, comma, the son of perdition. So Paul is telling us two things must occur before Jesus comes again to gather up the saints. What are those two things? First, there must come a falling away. Second, that man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. Let's first take a look and examine the falling away. The falling away. Here is where we have many people, Chuck Smith to Dave Hunt to Hal Lindsey, simply abusing the Word of God. It's so clear to me. If you look at the Greek word, and you don't really have to, I think it's clear to me what a falling away means. A falling away, my friend, that actually is involved and is definitely linked, connected, intimately, spiritually, physically, with the coming of the son of perdition, the man of sin who is revealed. All right? What kind of falling away? My friends, that's a falling away from the faith. A falling away from the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the falling away that must occur. Now, the Greek word here that underlies this falling away is the word apostasia. That's the Greek New Testament word. Now, that's what the new language, the New Testament, was written in Greek. And here the writers use the term apostasia. Apostasy is what we call it. Now, if you want to know what apostasy means, get yourself any good English dictionary. You can also get a Strong's Concordance. Here's what Strong's Concordance tells us. It says that the word apostasia, or falling away, means, quote, defection from the truth. Defection from the truth. Falling away. Forsake. So we have three meanings of the word, the Greek word apostasia. It can mean defection from the truth. It can be a falling away from the truth. Or it can be mean to forsake the truth. And I propose to you, my friends, all of those three things mean basically the same thing. It means that there will be a great falling away from the truth. People will defect from the truth. They will forsake the truth. Many of these people will claim that they're Christians. They will claim that they're part of the religious faith. They will hold to it and appear even, I believe, to be Christians. Oh, but they will abandon this great faith. Defect from it. Fall away from it. Forsake it. The American Heritage Dictionary is probably the best here. It says that apostasy means an abandonment of one's religious faith. Even, my friends, if they still claim they're Christians because they forsake the ancient landmarks of the faith as given in the Holy Scriptures, they become apostates. In effect, they're heretics. They've left the faith. They commit apostasy. They fall away. A great defection from the truth. Now, I want you to understand something. A lot of people back in Paul's day believed that Jesus was coming right around the corner. Some actually, I understand from reading historians, some were already going out there saying, we missed the rapture. Jesus came and we weren't taken up. It frightened some people. They were troubled. What if Jesus has already come and took the real believers and we were left behind? Paul then said, don't let anybody deceive you. That day, he wanted to make it plain to them when it was going to come. It will not come. Jesus is not going to come again to lift you up off this planet until two things happen. A falling away from the truth. A forsaking. A defection from the faith, an abandonment of the faith, and that man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. Those two things, he says. Now, I was reading in a very popular newsletter by one of these prophecy teachers several years ago, and I tell you, it just broke my heart to read what this man said. I'm not going to mention his name to you because they all teach basically the same thing. In this man's newsletter, he said that he had received quite a few letters from people asking about this verse. He says, if you just read it plainly, it appears that there has to be a forsaking of the truth, a falling away, an apostasy. But it doesn't mean that at all. My interpretation, he said, which is consistent, now listen to this, he said, it is consistent with what we dispensationalists have been taught. For example, in my doctoral studies at Dallas Theological Seminary, I was taught this. So I'm convinced it's correct because great men such as Dr. Woolford taught me this personally. Now, right away, he's dropped some things. He's got a doctorate. He went to Dallas Theological Seminary. And the great Dr. Woolford taught him this. It must be right. And now he's going to tell you, although it seems to plainly state in Scripture, it means this. I'm going to tell you what it means. It means something else. And then he went on to say, here's what it means. When it says that first there will be a falling away, that's the rapture. You'll fall away from the earth. Now remember, Jesus talks about in 1 Thessalonians being caught up. But this man says you're going to fall away. You're going to fall away from the earth. He said, obviously, this is a picture of the rapture. But what about the fact that the root word there, even in the Greek, is apostasia, meaning an abandonment of the faith, a defection, a forsaking? He says, well, it may seem that a way, but really there are other places where the root of this word, not apostasia, but the root verb of it is different. And he says, since we dispensationalists teach clearly that Jesus will come before the man of sin is revealed, then the fact is, he said, that Jesus will come for us and then the man of sin will be revealed. He said, so if you read this, he said, here's the way you should read it. You should read it to say this, that day shall not come except there come a rapture first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the prophecies and the letters of Paul.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.